everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. John, my buddy, engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. Together we welcome you. Hey, we made it to October. Thank the Lord. Monday, October the 2nd, 2023. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We love Green Things. They have the naming rights to our studio, and we're in the Bustos Media Broadcast Center, where we have five radio stations under one roof, but this radio station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted source for live local news and talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Our website, you can get all of our podcasts, actually going back to our first shows that first week of January in 2011. So there's a lot of content on the Buckmaster Show website. For our telephone interviews, and folks are welcome to join at any time, 790-2040. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. It's time for our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family owned and run since 1985. Moe and the family specialize in custom frame mirrors. We have a couple of them. They're beautiful. We've got two of those custom frame mirrors in our bathrooms at home. Art for your walls, because Mo is a fantastic photographer, and the stuff shows in his gallery. They've got some beautiful things that Mo has done. Where they really excel, picture framing, of course, and if there is an item that you have framed and you say, you know, I want it to be in a certain spot, well, Mo makes house calls. He'll make sure it goes up exactly where you want it. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing right next to Copenhagen, Fort Lowell, and Dodge. Website looks really good. The revamped website is moesgallery.com. This week's one-on-one interview, Christina Swallow is with us. Christina, City of Tucson's new planning director. Ms. Swallow was named the Director of Planning and Development Services in June after serving as director of the Nevada Department of Transportation. She was with Nevada Transportation since 2019. She grew up here in Tucson, got her bachelor's degree in civil engineering from the University of Arizona and her master's degree from the University of Nevada at Las Vegas. Christina Swallow, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's good to meet you, and it's good to be here.
Well, thank you very much, and I wanted to meet you. We've had your boss, the city manager, Mr. Ortega, on the show a couple of times recently, and he says, you've got to get Christina Swallow on the show. We are so fortunate to have her back in Tucson. And so he's delighted with the hire. I guess things are going pretty well, right?
I was at a conference here just last week, and I told them, I'm like, I'm not really sure I knew exactly what I was getting into. Definitely Tucsonans all know about the planning department, and we've definitely had some challenges, but I think we're
everybody
on...
knows about it. You know the knock on the planning department. Oh my goodness. Whatever happened to that planning permit that I put in? Did it get sort of lost somewhere? That was what people said. It just took forever. So go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think, you know, a lot was done in the year before I got here, and I think we're on the upswing, but we have a lot of things we're working on, and it's really exciting to be back here in the city of Tucson where I grew up, and I've been away longer than I've been here, but it's so exciting to be back here, and Tucson's been so very welcoming.
You went to high school here?
I did.
Which high school?
I went to University High at Rincon.
Okay. So, you know, you're a Tucson lady and you're back home. So one of the things you're excited about is this new online permitting system. You call it Tucson Development Center Online. So how is that working?
So the TDC Online, it went online last Halloween. So we're just about a year.
Are you sure?
I am sure. They even did.
October 31st.
October 31st. They even did a zombie. That was zombies. They were zombies for Halloween because I think they just needed an outlet. It was so stressful delivering the new system. But it's a new platform. I guess it's not that new anymore. It's almost a year old, but it allows a lot greater transparency. The applicant has a dashboard so they can track all of their applications. you and I could go on if like our neighbor was doing something, we could go on and look and see what they were doing. So it's a very transparent system. It also shows all payments and all inspections. And we've been continuously improving it ever since it went online. I kind of think about it like our phones or any other software that we have. Once you get it, you have something. And then they have to continuously update it and upgrade it. And we've been doing the same thing with our software system to make sure that it's meeting the needs of our customers.
So someone applies for a permit that would show up on the TDC system.
It does.
Okay. And it's easy to use?
And it's fairly easy to use.
Like
I haven't
used it.
Like you
said, if a neighbor, maybe you're noticing like there's some construction going on and you don't want to like ask the neighbor what's going on, you could actually go on and look up the address and everything.
Yes, I haven't used it as an applicant, so okay. I haven't submitted for any permits yet. Okay. I don't know that I will, but so I haven't used it from that perspective, but I have used it as just like neighbor when someone calls in, if they ask and they're, what's the status of my permit? I go to the TDC online. I don't even have an account. I don't do it from a city perspective. Mm-hmm. I just do it from the external and you put in their street address and it'll show everything that's going on that project or has gone on that property or has gone on in the past.
So someone if they come in and they can, is there like an express lane now at the, I guess you would, do you call those the review lanes?
Yeah. So we have review lanes now. Up until...
I know very little about the planning and permit process. The only thing I've really known about it is people have complained about it. So you know,
fair.
I'm sure our listeners are probably saying, you know, really, how does it work? Go ahead.
Yeah. So you need a permit for a lot of things in the city of Tucson. If you're doing something to your property, you need a permit. Pretty much always. And up until Labor Day, we basically had one expectation. If you came in, there were two. If you came in and you were doing something solar on your property and you had done it through the solar app, it was a same day review. And everything else, the expectation was it would be a 30-day review period. Well, when we, right before I started, they started talking about, can we break this up? Can we make it a little bit better? And in July and then later over Labor Day, we created some review lanes. So we now have four review lanes. The first is Express Lane, that's same day service. And that's residential trade permits, like water heaters, electrical reconnect, those sorts of things.
And that's right. I forgot that when we've had water heaters put in the past, that does require a permit. Go ahead.
Right, yeah. And again, those solar apps. So if it's a solar application and they've done it through the solar app process, it's same day. There's also Fast Lane. So Fast Lane, instead of having a 30-day expected review period, it's a 15-day expected review period. And so those are things, residential models on a template. Those are on the 15-day period, commercial trade, some special inspections, any sort of building official appeal. A lot of demos and fences are all in that 15-day period. What I will say, though, is when we rolled this out, remember I talked about continuous learning and continuous improvement. We immediately had a continuous learning experience. So we said you could get your fence permits in 15 days for a review period. It might take you two reviews depending on what you need, but on that review period, it'll be 15 days. And somebody came in, they're like, I hear I have a faster review. Well, their fence was in the floodplain and in a historic district. So any project that's in a floodplain or historic district, that automatically kicks you back to the standard time frame for a review, and that's 30 days. Mm-hmm. And so we still have a lot in there. And then the fourth lane is complex. And those complex projects, their review period is a 30-day review period still. But oftentimes they have multiple, not just one or two reviews, but you're talking four, five, six, because there's just
what
so much complexity.
What kind of projects would we be talking about that would go into that area?
Some of those projects.
Like a big project?
Yes, the big master plan developed projects are oftentimes in those. It could be something, though, a very difficult remodel. You think about some of the work that we're doing, the city's going to be doing on Tucson House. That's going to be very complicated to do that remodel. So that might be considered a very complex project where there might be more than two or three reviews. And so our goal on those is to reduce the number of reviews, to improve the quality of the comments and work with those applicants to really reduce that total time. Because a 15-day review period may not sound like very much, or even a 30-day, but if you're coming in four and five periods and there's fixes in between, it can really add up. So we're looking to streamline all of that. The one thing I didn't talk about or specifically call out was tenant improvements. And so we rolled out these review lanes in two phases in July and Labor Day. And the stakeholders were really generally pretty excited, but they said, thank you so much. And can you fix the TIs, the tenant improvements? And, you know, if you want to remodel your studio here, you'd have to come in and get it reviewed. And right now, it would all go through the standard. It's going to take us 30 days to do that first review and any subsequent. So we've started looking at that, and we've started working with the stakeholders to figure out how can we separate simple tenant improvements from complex. And we're getting some feedback from them and working through that with them right now. And we're hoping that we'll have the staffing to roll out a simple tenant improvement timeline by January. It will depend a little bit on staffing, but we are working on doing that. So changes to come.
You know, you need a permit for practically everything.
You do.
Some electrical stuff. I mean, I know when we put a new septic tank in, we had to have permits for that, even though we're in the county. I'm sure if somebody had a septic tank in the city, they'd probably need a permit too.
They would need a permit, and depending on where they're located, they might actually be required to connect to sewer. So, yeah.
Anyway, it's pretty complicated, but it sounds like things are improving in the planning department, Christine.
I sure hope so.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. It's our Monday one-on-one with Christina Swallow, City of Tucson's new planning and development director. The Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge. But right now I want to talk about my favorite bakery in town. Christina, do you like bakery goods? I.e. comfort food.
Does anybody ever say no?
I mean, they never do. No.
I mean, of course I like
John, no one ever says no to my question about that, do they? John shaking his head. Nobody ever says no to that, Bill. All right. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. We love Mona's. They do take Monday off, well-deserved day off. They kind of recuperate from a very busy weekend. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. You might want to take a look at their website. They've got beautiful color pictures of everything on the menu. You will be very tempted, and you'll know exactly that, well, maybe not, when you walk in. I think people always say, well, I think I know what I want, but then Steve and the baking team have some beautiful pastries. They've just come out of the oven, and I think those look good. I think I'll take a couple of those. Anyway, Mona's Danish Bakery. Be right back on the Buckmaster Show with our Monday one-on-one. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan to the RTA board by December. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, the Monday one-on-one. Today, Christina Swallow is here, City of Tucson's new planning and development director, and she comes highly recommended to Tucson after serving since 2019 in the Nevada Department of Transportation. So we're talking with Christina about how things are improving, kind of things are speeding up in the permitting process with the Tucson Development Center. Want to talk a little bit, Christina, about how are we doing in terms of permits? Does it look, because permits, of course, indicate kind of a health check on the economy. So how are we doing?
We're doing good. We actually have been tracking them on a monthly basis and reporting back to our stakeholders and showing kind of the ups and downs, and they're generally pretty stable. And what I'm excited to see is that while they do have ups and downs, our consistency within the department, we're issuing almost 600 permits a month. Now, some of those permits are water heaters,
Sure. But
some of those permits are new structures, they're additions, and they're changes. And so that, I think, is really a temperature check on how our housing units are doing, but also really our commercial and our businesses. And I did want to just touch base briefly and just say, like, we were talking earlier about those review lanes, and just give some data on what people can actually expect.
Okay.
So those residential trade permits, the ones that you can get in one day, mm-hmm. 94% of permits issued in the last month, out of 326, 94% were issued in one day. And our fast lane, many of those, that's a 15-day goal. Many of those, we had 95% of the residential model permits were in 4 days. So we are hitting our targets. And, you know, every now and then there's something that goes over. We're really working to try to improve. I'd even say our average review times for residential alterations or additions was 12 days. And for commercial alterations or additions was 17 days.
Mm.
Now, that's not how long it's going to take you to get a permit, but that's how long it will take when you come in to get your review.
Mm.
If you don't have any changes, you're done. But if you have some changes, then you'll have to come back. So we're really working on delivering for our community, because the community is growing and changing.
Oh, and so many departments in the city have really suffered from shortages of workers. The pandemic changed so many things, and it really changed kind of the flow of workers. And I know there's been a shortage of trying to get enough people to do the permit inspecting. So are you doing kind of some trying to train some people to put them out on the front lines?
We are definitely one of those organizations that has struggled with finding employees. Luckily, council enabled us to hire a bunch more people in the last year, so we have staffed up. Our inspections are actually happening within one day. If you call to order your inspection today, we may not get to it today, but we're going to get to it tomorrow. So we're doing pretty good in that space, but, you know, there's always the concern if we have turnover of staff, you know, will we be able to maintain that standard of performance? But we're doing pretty good in that space.
Are people retiring, Christina? Is this something that young people might be interested in, or what is that job look like, the permit inspectors?
You know, there are folks that are always retiring throughout the department. That is definitely a challenge. You know, the permit inspection role is a very interesting one because you can start with very minimal experience and you can work your way up as you get additional certifications. And we've had a couple of team members that it's been so exciting to see it because they're so excited about it when they get that next certification because they know it's helping them advance in their career. It doesn't require a college degree. And so it's a really good way to get your foot in the door. And it might even be a good way to like help pay for your additional education if you wanted to do something else in the future.
One of the things the council has been looking at is kind of fast-tracking the development of these casitas. Some people may want to add a casita to their property. Maybe a loved one needs the housing space. Maybe they see it as a possible source of additional income. What's the situation with what's known as the ADU model plan?
Yeah, so council authorized ADUs, I believe it was either late 2021 or early 2022. And in the year, that was earlier this year, in the first year of that, I think we had over 80 applications, but only about 30 made it through and got permits. But even if you think about how big city of Tucson is and how excited people are for this, to only have 80 applications and about 30 make it through, that really isn't a lot. It hasn't really changed dramatically the housing supply. One of the barriers that we learned as we were talking to the community was people don't know where to start. You know, do I have to hire an architect? How much is an architect going to cost? And that cost is a lot. And so we partnered, we actually got a grant from AARP to deliver a suite of model plans for accessory dwelling units. So it's our Casita model plan competition. It closed, I think, last week. We had over 63 applicants, and now it's open for public voting. We're also going to have a suite of expert evaluators, architects, and engineers to see, make sure that these are constructible. But we're hoping to have 10 or more on file so that if you wanted to build a casita in your backyard, you could look at the 10, you could pick the one that you like. You might have to pay a small fee to use it, but it will already be through the process. And the only thing you would have to do then is go through the process to make sure you could put it on your property. So you'd still have a little bit, but it would definitely reduce one of the barriers to developing these casitas.
That really simplifies the process, doesn't it?
It definitely will, because you won't have to figure out, who do I hire? How much is that going to cost? I don't know what I want, right? It's just right there.
You know, we've spent a lot of time talking about permits, but let's talk a little bit about the future and the corridors of this town, because there's a lot to your job, Christina Swallow, that isn't about permitting. I mean, you're looking at some long-term development of the city of Tucson. How is this place developing? What's it going to look like? I know it's a pretty big question for only a couple of minutes.
Oh, it's a huge question, and I'm so glad you asked about that. You framed it around corridors, but I'm going to just step back and talk about Plan Tucson for a second, because you opened with what are we going to look like in the future.
Exactly.
And we are in the midst of the update to our general plan, Plan Tucson. We have to do this every 10 years. We finished phase one. That was in the spring. We got over 13,000 comments from the community, and we're now in phase two. And we're really relying on the community to tell us what Tucson's going to look like in the future and how we're going to get there. So we have some working groups established. Those are like monthly meetings. They are virtual. They're about an hour or two each month. And they're really around five different groups: land use, housing and urban design, transportation, mobility and access, community resources, water, climate, green space, and economic vitality. And we're relying on the community to help us work through and figure out what are the goals and what are the policies for each of those five groups. If you can't commit to a monthly meeting for 1 to 2 hours, we're also going to have community forums that will be either in person or hybrid, where we can still get samples and input from the community, from those who can't contribute. This process is going to go through and ultimately will go to the ballot in 2025. The community has to vote on it. That's why when you ask me what's the community going to look like, it's really, it's up to the community to help us shape that.
I didn't realize this would go to the ballot and people would decide, how do you want our community to look?
Yeah, it will. And I'm super excited about that. In the meantime, though, back to your first question, first part of that question, corridors. Mayor and council has really tasked us with a few things to really look at our corridors and figure out how we can improve development along
Broadway
them.
Corridor, Speedway.
Exactly.
On and on. Grant.
Exactly.
However that is going to shape up when they finally get the road work down there.
Exactly. Yeah. So we just approved the Sunshine Mile along the Broadway area, mm-hmm. and we did an overlay there, and we already
have. Do you think that's
one.
Going well, the Sunshine?
I actually think it is, and okay. time will tell. I think it's okay. been, it's very early days. The yeah. actual overlay was just approved, I believe, in June.
Okay.
But I've started to see, and I'm talking to stakeholders that have the own those properties along that mm-hmm. corridor, and they're very excited to deliver projects. So mm-hmm. I think it's still early days, and time will tell, but I'm hopeful for it.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, we're expanding the Grant Road overlay.
Okay.
To really hope, and we're learning. We're trying to learn from what we did on Sunshine Mile and apply those lessons learned over on Grant to really see what we can do to incentivize redevelopment along that corridor. And then additionally, Mayor and Council said, you can't just look at Broadway and Grant. We've got corridors, you know, whether it's Oracle, whether it's yeah. Campbell, whether it's Speedway, Broadway, Grant. And so we're doing a higher level overview of all of our corridors to see where there's opportunities. And we're going to Mayor and Council here in just a couple of weeks to get more feedback from them on how they want us to advance forward on that project.
Yeah, because part of your job is kind of looking in the crystal ball as a planner. You're looking forward. The way this place is going to shape up is going to be a very interesting discussion. And I know there's a lot of work to do, but sounds like you're very much involved. Christina Swallow, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
And tell me a little bit about where people can find out if they'd like to contact you or the department. Any questions? Is best to go online or what?
It would be best to go online to our website, and I don't have a really
that's
short,
okay.
easy one. But
you can just Google
best.
City of Tucson Planning Department,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. It's very easy to find us.
Thank
yes.
you, Christina.
Thank you.
All right. Our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Since 1985, Moe and his family, they do such great work. Check them out right next to Copenhagen, Fort Lowell, and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Buckmaster Midway Point on a Monday afternoon. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Perfect time of year to go over to Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. Now that summer finally is in the rearview mirror, this would be a great time to go over to Green Things and put some beautiful color in your garden after a kind of, at least at our garden, kind of a devastating summer with a couple of big hailstorms. Things look pretty beat up, so good time to go over to Green Things just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They're open every day. They're in their 53rd year of business, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Zocalo Village is their sister business on the 13-acre site, and it would be worth your while when you're over there buying some plants to look at Zocalo Village. They've got some beautiful collection of Talavera pottery from Mexico. Speaking of Mexico, on our live line, Keith Rosenblum. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Once a month, at least once a month, we check in with Mr. Rosenblum. He is our Mexico contributor. Keith, how are you?
Bill, this time you neglected to say I'm a longtime observer of Mexico, and I'm wondering, do you have your doubts?
Yeah, well...
Maybe you change your definitions of observer or long time.
Yeah, I did.
Maybe your confidence in me has been shattered by something.
But I need to add that longtime observer of all things to do with Mexico. And, you know, I was listening to one of the a talk show recently, and they were talking about Nikki Haley, candidate, Republican candidate for president, who is advocating, let's just send in, according to Ms. Haley, special forces, U.S. special forces, to wipe out the Mexican cartels. Well, that may be a little easier said, harder than...
I mean, the good thing is that the cartel members have neon flashing lights on them that identifies their cartel. So I see that as being actually a very easy chore. We go into Mexico, we find those people, and then we simply kill them. And we get to learn that Afghanistan, when we got into there, would never look as easy and as organized if we decided to do something in Mexico. So folly on top of foolishness on top of inanity.
Well, and wouldn't it be if special forces went in and took out some of the cartel leadership? What would happen? Well, we know what would happen. There would be new leadership before the special forces people even made it back to the U.S.
The concept is so preposterous and it's so dangerous, not for the cartel, for you, for Bill Buckmaster. Once we define people as terrorists, there's no end to it. Well, I have an idea. How about if we make shoplifters terrorists? How about if we make people who abuse their puppies terrorists? We're the Patriot Act and all the horrible things that have come from it have diminished people's civil rights. And as long as we can classify people as terrorists, now let me see. These smugglers who have providing human beings and fentanyl and marijuana, everything else you can imagine, to the U.S., as best Keith Rosenblum can tell, are filling a void in a free market. That means they're guilty of some kind of contraband, maybe something under RICO, something. But really, are we going to define people as terrorists because they've filled, like we're going to define the Purple Gang, you know, or that all as the gangs we had in the U.S. that did just this? Were they terrorists or were they simply criminals that were, and we could get rid of so much of that market tomorrow if we didn't look to drown our sorrows or our pain or whatever else in medication. So anyway, the idea that we're having this conversation reminds me, and I'm going to date myself and probably most people as well, but people should go back and watch Woody Allen and Take the Money and Run. It starts off with the crew, the actual crew of Jim McKay and Howard Cosell and whoever else was there at Y World of Sports. And they go, and instead of covering, you know, a sporting event like bicycle race or boxing or something, they cover the assassination of a dictator in San Marcos, a small Latin American, you know, mythical country in Latin America. And they have the crew covering the assassination. Then when the new dictator comes into office, he makes a series of declarations. The declarations are the new language of San Marcos from now on will be Swedish. And he makes a series of these inane declarations. And I have to say that watching the Republican primary campaign, listening to President Lopez Obrador, and I know you're going to ask me, Bill, if you're not, then I'll help you. You're going to ask me, Keith, how many conferences has he had so far that you've mostly listened to during his administration?
Where thousands. We know he's in year five. Thousands.
And we know, Keith, you're very fond of listening to him, and it's probably shredding what little brain power you had before. And the answer is 1,215.
Okay.
And right. Today, Keith Rosenblum listened to him again, and the guy has really become messianic, and he reminds me of the dictator of San Marcos. And I'm waiting for Lopez Obrador to declare the national language of Mexico to be Swedish. He also mandates in Take the Money and Run, the same dictator mandates that from now on, he says, underwear will be worn on the outside. So this is the level. So today's press conference, it ricocheted between these very, very weird topics. And the president for 2.5 hours just ponders things and makes you listen. And one of the things I finally figured out is that it's not just the content of the man's, he has a very limited vocabulary. He's like Donald Trump, almost no vocabulary. But he does things I've been wanting to find someone who could analyze speech patterns, because when he wants to, rhetorically, when he wants to contemplate something, he'll say, no, 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 no. He'll do it like 9 or 10 or 12 times. To the point you're just saying, this guy's just irritating me. No matter what, I'm just irritated by this guy just being there. It's not that and I'm looking at the transcripts that the Mexican government publishes afterwards. And they actually print no, 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 no. The same number of no's that he
has. That's because he's buying time with a no, 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 no to figure out what he's going to say next.
And those policies are weird to begin with. But anyway, the reality is that Mexico is one prospering place. And it is, the peso is now, it's still like 16. It is holding its own. Tesla, all these companies that are doing things, tell me how bad Mexico is, and I'll tell you, you know what, and that the wage differential is less and less. I mean, we've talked about this before, but if you, Bill, decide tomorrow that you want to set up a shop in Hermosillo or Obregón or Navajoa, you could have previously counted a couple of years ago when we were having these conversations, you could have counted on it paying maybe fully fringed, somewhere between a fourth and a fifth of what the wages would be in the U.S. for, you know, comparable labor. And now it would probably be right around a third of it. So things are changing and the economy is improving. That's why amongst the people who are coming up through the borders undocumented, guess what? It is Venezuelans, Haitians, Jamaicans, Guatemalans, not a lot of Mexicans in the mix.
Yet there are those who asked at the debates, should Mexico be declared a failed state, Keith Rosenblum?
Well, I think as long as it happens at the same time as we're declared a failed country, because you know what, Bill? We have a lot of districts in this country that go 51-49. Am I correct? Did Representative Siskomani's district go anything much more than that?
Yep, I think that's about right.
Raul Grijalva's, who, if you're a Republican in Raul Grijalva, you might as well be in a zoo or something. That's how unique you are. But basically, what that means is when a district goes 51-49, that means what? That means that 49% of the people who are in that district are not enfranchised by their representative's point of view. Mm-hmm. Where have we decided a failed state? A failed state about Keith Rosenblum worried about his kid going to Limeweaver and having lessons in how to avoid someone with a shooter, an active shooter.
Right.
Is that a failed state? In Mexico, that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute now. So do we have this very skewed view about what what a terrorist state is or a failed state is. I can point to lots of things that would make my country, meaning the United States, a failed nation. And if I was before the Mexican Congress making a point for why, aside from the fact that we stole Mexico's half a country, you know, a lot of years ago, that's been forgotten, but you know, that's a conversation for another day. Really, at what point is this nonsense going to end? The idea that we would go violate another country's sovereignty because we decide that their criminals who are meeting our demand for something need to send in our troops. The whole concept is, it sounds wonderful. It's a really romantic, cool kind of Rambo style of talking. We're tough Americans, and it is so obscene that to even have a conversation, we should feel diminished for even allowing ourselves to participate in that conversation.
All right. Let's take the break right here. When we come back, Russian troops were on parade at the Mexican Independence Day parade. I'll ask Keith Rosenblum about that and some other things right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is collected throughout Pima County and averages more than $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is John Trout. Catch me every weekday morning at 5 before Wake Up Tucson with America in the Morning. Breaking news, weather, politics, and sports on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster with you in the driver's seat. Speaking of driving, only about a three-hour drive over to Silver City, New Mexico, a great sponsor. And I like that temperature. I'm looking at 73 right now, midday, over in Silver City. And they've got some really beautiful nights. 41 degrees on Wednesday morning over in Silver City. So autumn is certainly in the mix now in southwest New Mexico, and lots to do over there. You can check out their great website, southwestnewmexico.org, for all sorts of information about recreation, where to stay, where to dine in a great part of the Southwest United States. Let's go back to longtime Border Observer Keith Rosenblum, our monthly contributor on the border. And I see the Russians did take part. They had part of the military parade in the Mexican capital to, I think it was the 213th anniversary of the beginning of Mexico's independence from Spain. But this has generated a wave of criticism, including from the Ukrainian ambassador to Mexico. But the president of Mexico, he's not worried about the criticism.
I don't, Bill, there's some things where Keith Rosenblum just needs to be quiet. I just don't know if the ceremonial appearance of troops, you know, we're in a world of symbolism, and he said this, and, you know, Lopez Obrador met with the mom of Chapo Guzman, and then he said, no, it was just a meeting with the mother of a constituent, although it happened to be, you know, one of the premier narcotics traffickers in the world. On the other hand, so, you know, there's lots of things that can be interpreted as being a message, you know, to the rest of the population. There's some things that just happen because they're, you know, we use Russian words in our dialogue. You know, we talk about the French, who care about their language, are always saying, you know, we got to keep English out of the purity of French language. Otherwise, it sends a message of corruption of French culture. You know what? At least from my standpoint, I'm going to declare myself to be no more insight than anybody else on this topic, but to Keith, the private citizen, the idea of Russian troops marching, if the Ukrainian troops were invited and didn't go, that's kind of on them. It's a ceremony. You know, it's a ceremony. We boycotted the Olympics that China hosted. Were we sending, what kind of message did we send? I'm not good at message sending or diplomatic things like that. So, in my world, it didn't faze me at all. And if it upset people, well, I know Russia's bellicose, and I'm against the invasion of Ukraine. Rosenblums are from the Donbas region originally. We were Russian speakers who hated both the Tsar and also hated Ukraine. So, but we somehow survived both until they took off to the New World in around the turn of the century. But I just don't know. I can't attach the same significance to it. I don't know enough about it, but Russian troops being seen somewhere, I view as being ceremonials. I do in my coins, you know, One Nation Under God, or a Christmas tree in at a city hall. I see it as being largely a beautiful ceremonial thing or a ritual. I don't see it as an endorsement of anything. You know, the Russian troops didn't go attack the national palace, the national palace or anything, did they? They fight with the Ukrainians, where the Ukrainians invited. I have a hard time getting emotional or even caring about that topic.
All right. This is a topic that I think could bode well for Tucson and others that would like to improve air service to Mexico. There's an airline called Viva Aerobus. It was announced today that this organization, this airline, will soon begin a new service to Austin, Denver, Miami, New York, San Francisco, and Orlando. This is an airline that's based in Monterrey, Mexico, and I wonder if this has something to do with the some of the requirements, the federal requirements in this country have now changed toward Mexican aviation, Keith.
Keith Rosenblum is a huge fan of Viva Aerobus, based in Monterrey, Nuevo León, and took so much a fan that I flew them on Friday from Mexico City to Monterrey. I was there for 3 hours.
Wow.
Layover, and then flew into Ciudad Juarez. And Keith Rosenblum flew aboard an A321, which had 240 seats in it.
Yeah.
And it was full. And Keith Rosenblum contemplated flying from Mexico City, Benito Juarez Airport, to Las Vegas, where they have a nonstop flight as well, which was I could have done for $150.
Okay.
But I couldn't do it because I didn't have my passport with me. So I just had to fly domestically instead of being able to fly internationally. That was my passport's being renewed. So in the meantime, I can't do anything internationally. But yes, the reason it is not so much the about anything about policy as it is about Viva Aerobus has bought lots of Airbus aircraft. And they are expanding like crazy, and they're a fabulous airline. And I haven't been on a flight of theirs in the last year, and I want to say I've flown them 20 times.
Okay.
They haven't been full. They are the best of like People's Express or Southwest Airlines or Frontier. They are marvelously managed, and that they are in Vegas is a great sign. And L.A. is a great sign for the West Coast. Aeromexico, which is the, you know, flag carrier of Mexico, is horrible. I mean, they're very expensive. They're a fabulous airline. If you want to be with a top tier airline, fly Aeromexico, but you'll pay double what you will with either Volaris, which is also a low cost airline, or Viva Aerobus. They're both superb, and that they're all opening in Austin and in the other markets that you mentioned bodes very well for Arizona. I would love to see Tucson at some point. I think the market is here. It was at one point. Remember, there were the two Aeromexico flights that went, and there were 250 people a day flying out of Tucson on those flights. The destinations were on one flight, the Hermosillo, Obregón, Los Mochis, I think Culiacán, Guadalajara, and Mexico City, and on the other ones they were just Guaymas and La Paz prior to going to Mexico City. Is there the demand in Tucson? Absolutely there is. I would love to. And I think they could be convinced as well. I've often thought also that this is kind of weird. No one ever brings the topic up, but I've always thought that Nogales, Arizona Airport would be prime as well for one of those airlines, because you have a huge market from Nogales, Mexico,
mm-hmm.
and a great market from southern Arizona, including Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they have the runway, they have the ability, in other words, to do it from Nogales, Arizona Airport, which in its day, which was 30 years ago, 40 years ago, had daily flights from Aeromexico. There was a flight that went, I think, Los Mochis to Hermosillo, to Nogales, Arizona, to Cananea, to Casas Grandes, Chihuahua. So there's the demand, absolutely, and Viva Aerobus is spectacular. I can't say enough good things about them, and if I told you what I paid for my trip from Mexico City to Juarez on a Friday, you'd be shocked. I think I put out $130.
Oh, my goodness.
Almost the last minute fare.
Wow. How is the Aeromexico product, if you are willing to, say, pay more? I know they have what they call I guess that's their business class product. Have you heard anything? Is it a good?
Well, Club Premier, anyone can join. That's like Delta frequent flyer miles or, you know, Advantage miles. So that Club Premier is what you belong to whenever you fly Aeromexico.
Right.
Then they have their club levels and their executive levels, and they are absolutely, you know, their pilots are paid probably 40% more than the other pilots.
Mm-hmm.
They've been around forever. They've got where there are routes that are parceled out, you know, or auctioned out. They have them. So if you're going to go to Madrid or a lot of the traditional places in South America, you're going to end up doing it on Aeromexico by and large, because there's a lot of these places have country to country agreements where only one flag carrier gets to do it, you know, and from one to each country.
Right.
So for example, to Cuba, I think that's Aeromexico. To most places in Latin America.
I was looking at San Jose, Costa Rica from Mexico City, and they
I don't think Costa Rica has, I don't know to the extent they allow other airlines to go in, but I do know the Aeromexico is just superb. And what I said about them stands. They're expensive, but they're in the Sky Miles program, mm-hmm. and their service is excellent.
Wow.
You know, to me, it's a ripoff. Why would you do that when you can get from point A to point B for half the price? And by the way, on my last trip to Mexico City, which was on Viva Aerobus from Hermosillo, and that one cost $70 with all the taxes and everything.
Wow.
I flew into the to IFA, to the alternative airport in Mexico City, and each time I go, it's a little easier to navigate, and even though it's this big abandoned shell of an airport, what a delight it is to fly into that, I will say.
Okay, Keith, always a pleasure to talk with you. We'll talk soon. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Okay, Keith Rosenblum with our monthly border report. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Mr. Rosenblum and John, engineering and producing the show, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope everybody has a great afternoon. Wishing everyone well.